And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice.
It is your one-stop shop for all things Stanley Cup playoffs. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, betting tips, playoff pool advice, and overall opinion and thoughts. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you. This podcast is a presentation of Bet365. Hockey fan, check out Bet365's three-goal early payout. When your team goes up three, you get paid. It's that simple. Download the app today. Must be 19+, Ontario only. Please play responsibly, Jake. I tell you, I am jacked for this weekend, buddy. Oh, how are you?
Me too, Nick. We took a long, winding path to get here, but we finally got here. And Meany, we have some fresh blood in the postseason this year. It's kind of nice after years and years of the same teams making the postseason, especially in the East. A lot of fresh blood this year. I'm really pumped for it.
Yeah, me too, guys. Like the Battle of Pennsylvania, I've been talking about this over the past couple of episodes. There's a lot of very intriguing series, and you're right, new blood. Nick, there's a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference, the Bruins, the Penguins, the Flyers, that we didn't think would be here, but they're here, and round one is always amazing. I can't wait.
Guys, we got to start going dog hunting, please. Okay, yes. That's what everybody wants to know when they tune into today's podcast. What underdog has the biggest chance of actually doing something of substance here in the Stanley Cup playoffs? Jake, I couldn't believe my eyes when that series price opened for Colorado and LA. It felt like LA wanted no part of Edmonton. Do they want a part of Colorado is my question.
That doesn't seem like a better option, to be honest. I know they've lost to Edmonton 4 years in a row, so maybe just seeing a different jersey is a good thing for the LA Kings at this point. I mean, they've lost 4 years in a row, so maybe just mix it up. But we know how good Colorado is. So, Meany, I don't think that's a dog I'm going to be interested in. The Flyers for the first round are a dog I'm interested in, a team that's just playing good hockey going in. Pittsburgh's been a great story all year, but let's be honest, they're sort of happy to be here. Maybe they're a bit smoke and mirrors this year, and I like the way the Flyers have been playing the last month or so. So Philly will be my dog of the first round. I don't know if they can go further than the first round means, but in terms of the first round, Philly series price will have my interest.
Yeah, and a lot of love for Dan Muse, their coach of the year, and certainly warranted. But Rick Tocchet has done a great job with this team as well. And I look at the Penguins, they're top heavy. I'm not surprised really to see them have success offensively this year, given the talent on that team. But Philadelphia, they have a lot of young players. They have Martone, who's a nice young rookie, who's... he's been amazing since he's entered the NHL, and they play a stingy brand of 5-5 hockey. The other upset potentially here, Nick, is Montreal. Like, we all love Tampa Bay on this show. We've loved them all year long. They have all kinds of experience, but the Canadiens at plus 200, a team that's beaten the Lightning a couple times over the last couple of weeks when the games have certainly mattered, I think they're live as a dog as well.
I couldn't agree more on both those fronts. I have Philadelphia beating the Pittsburgh Penguins, and I wrestled with Montreal and Tampa all night long. I'm not kidding. I think the Dobson injury is huge. And honestly, as we have this conversation, I still might sway Tampa over the weekend. I think this is massive. And I think it oversets, obviously, Hedman not being there, we think, to start this series, at least for the Tampa Bay Lightning. But I think Montreal's live. I think it's going to be a difficult series. I think betting at seven games would be a smart decision. I expect it to be lengthy, and I expect it to be close. It was interesting seeing that price in that series specifically, Jake, where I was like, am I off on my hypothesis and my breakdown of these two teams? I think they're really, really close.
Well, and I don't usually like to read into the season series too much, guys. It was 2-2 between those teams, obviously division rivals, so they play four times throughout the year. One of Tampa's wins was in a shootout as well, so it's pretty clear that there's not much separating these teams. We also watched the Atlantic Division all year. These teams were separated by, what, 2 or 3 points? Montreal, Buffalo, Tampa Bay. Now Montreal and Tampa meet. Meany, I think I was expecting something in the minus 160, minus 170 range. I even saw it open at minus 300 in some spots, and it did get bet down a little bit. So I think if you're looking for value, you jump on Montreal now. Some of the other series prices I might wait during the series to jump in, but in terms of a pre-series bet, Pete, I'm looking at the Montreal Canadiens. I think they could take one in Tampa, and all of a sudden you're going to have pretty nice value going to Montreal for game three.
I was very torn looking. I was overthinking it. I feel like the Montreal-Tampa matchup. But one underdog I like, plus 145 on the Ottawa Senators. I feel like the Senators down the stretch of the season knocked off some great teams along the way in order to get in and avenge the early season struggles. And then you look at their possession style, top five in both offensive zone time percentage and 5-on-5 shot attempts percentage. That's the bread and butter of the Carolina Hurricanes. So this is going to be a slugfest. And if the Hurricanes can't they can't get those timely goals in the clutch like past years, Ottawa's going to knock them off right here.
Yeah, Carolina's a team I usually like to fade, but I think I'm kind of feeling them in this series. And certainly, they're, you know, Bet365 is giving their respect to the Ottawa Senators, and you want to talk about analytical series, this is it. I mean, these are two teams that live in the offensive zone. They don't give up a whole lot of shot attempts and they generate a whole lot. So they're certainly interesting. And, you know, Nick, 3 weeks ago, we were all like, man, if Utah faces Vegas, Utah is live. Like, they're a team that can go on a run. Whoever wins the Pacific, we don't really like where they're at. And Utah's sitting there at plus 155. But, man, Vegas has been one of the best teams in the NHL, really, at 5-5 all season long. And since Torts has taken over, they're 7-0-1. They found their offense. They look like a team that could go on a run.
Yeah, they do. And I think we'll go over some Carter Hart numbers a bit later on. But he has really taken that number one job under John Tortorella. And it seems like late in this season, the Vegas Golden Knights have found their footing. Like, I was curious to see who had the shortest odds. No shock that it's Colorado to win the Stanley Cup at plus 300. You got Tampa plus 425, Carolina plus 475. Honestly, in my opinion, I think there's a lot of value plus 1,000 on Dallas, plus 1,200 on Edmonton. Anything else you can pick out, Jake, on the cup odds there?
I'm not really loving the odds at the top of the board, to be honest. Not that I can't see any of those teams winning the Stanley Cup, but I don't smell a lot of value there. I do like the path for the Carolina Hurricanes a lot here, guys. I know you're talking about that series and, you know, how analytical it is, the defensive metrics for the Sens, how the Canes like to run up the shot clock, puck possession, all these sorts of things. It's a really interesting stylistic matchup between those two teams. And meaning, I think the two best teams on that side of the bracket are Carolina and Ottawa. So if you like Ottawa, I think you could get some value on them. I think if they beat Carolina, I like them against Philly or Pittsburgh in the next round. I'm still taking the Canes here, guys. And Meany, I do like that path for them to a possible conference final again. But we know the Canes and conference finals haven't really gone hand in hand over the years. So I don't think I'm interested around 5-1 for a cup future.
Yeah, but they're kryptonite, the Florida Panthers. They're not in this thing. So that's a team that they haven't been able to get by over the past couple of years. I totally agree with you on the path. I think, you know, whether it's Pittsburgh or Philadelphia, they'll be heavily favored. Even Ottawa. Ottawa's getting the respect. I mean, their future number to win the Stanley Cup is very similar to the Buffalo Sabres, who have been the best team in the NHL for months. So I don't really think that they're getting a whole lot of respect. But I think when I look at the board, and we just talked about Montreal and the tough matchup, 28-1 for the Canadiens to win the Cup. If they do find a way to get by the Tampa Bay Lightning, you know, that number will probably move to what, 14 maybe, Jake, 12? Yeah. And they'll start to gain some confidence. I do agree with Nick, the Dobson injury is significant, and when I look at the Montreal Canadiens, they need some secondary scoring. Cooper loves to match up lines, right? He's probably going to have Hagel, you know, match up against that top line, so the secondary scoring for Montreal certainly needs to show up, Jake.
I feel like Montreal is pretty comfortable in that matchup too, right? Like, Tampa's a great team. They have all the parts to win a Stanley Cup. Probably the best player maybe in the league, certainly in the series, in Nikita Kucherov. They have the goalie in Vasilevsky. They have the head coach in John Cooper. So they check all the boxes. But there's a little magic about Montreal come playoff time, no matter how good the team is. And I think this is a real good version of the Montreal Canadiens. The one series we haven't really touched on yet in the East, guys, Buffalo and Boston. Where do we fall on this one? I'm really on the fence on this one, Meany, between these two teams. Jeremy Swayman factor for Boston to maybe steal some games. David Pastrnak. You could talk yourself into Boston winning games a bunch of different ways in this series and maybe pulling off the upset against the Sabres.
It's all about Swayman. I think he's certainly an X factor. He's an X factor for us. He's been one of the best goalies in the NHL. I think he's at the most starts with a save percentage of at least 900. He's really been their MVP outside of David Pastrnak. But Nick, I like the Sabres. I like the Sabres in the series spread, 1.5 at plus 105. You know, this team has just been steady. They've been consistent. They don't have a ton of experience, which is interesting for a team heading into the playoffs. Been so good all year. All of a sudden, you know, you got the crowd noise. First playoff game of Buffalo in such a long time. Not a lot of players have playoff experience, but I'm going to go with the Sabres, and I'm going to take them in the series spread at 1.5.
We're going head-to-head. Give me the Boston Bruins plus 150, the first playoff appearance since 2011 for your Buffalo Sabres. And the last time the Boston Bruins were in the Stanley Cup playoffs, Jeremy Swayman was out of this world. I think it comes down to the crease, and I side with Boston's crease and Jeremy Swayman specifically. I haven't particularly been crazy about Buffalo down the stretch. 0-22 in the last seven games on the power play, granted the best winning percentage since January 1st. And I think we throw everything we see, Jake, in the regular season out the window. But Boston played them very, very honest and hard. They won three of the four meetings.
Boston was just pesky all season. And they do have the goaltender to get it done. I think you could say, okay, Swayman steals a game. Pasternak wins a game for them. Their depth wins a game for them. Like, you could talk yourself into different ways. Boston wins enough games to take that series. Plus 150, the series price for Boston. Minus 180 over at Bet365 for the Buffalo Sabres. Nick, the one Sabre odd I do like, I know we're getting into some Conn Smythe as the show goes on here. Alex Tuck, 100-1 to win the Conn Smythe trophy. Buffalo's a team that likes to spread things out a little bit. Doesn't Tuck just sort of scream a Conn Smythe trophy winner? If you like Buffalo to go all the way, I think 100-1 on Tuck isn't a bad play.
Not to mention, I think, guys, he's going to be fired up from Rochester. He's been a Sabres fan his whole life. Now he's a Sabre. He's in the Stanley Cup playoffs for the first time since 2011. It really is a tremendous story. Means a couple things I'm looking at betting-wise here in the first round. I like the exact number of games in Dallas and Minnesota. Give me the Stars in six games plus 450. I like Dallas outright. It's almost a pick 'em at this point, and we'll see as we get closer and closer to game one what that series price looks like. But minus 120, I like it. I like Montreal to beat Tampa outright plus 200. We talked about that. Although in the Tampa-Montreal series, I think there's sneaky value on Jake Guentzel to be the best top scorer in that series. Plus 500 is the value there. 41 goals in 74 career Stanley Cup playoff games. So I think there's a variety of different routes you can take with your bets, and those are a couple that I like.
Yeah, you know, since we're on that series, you know, you can take goal leaders for the series, point leaders for the series, shot leaders, you know, for goals. Braden Point stands out 10-1. I know he hasn't had the best series, but what I envision is Cooper having Cirelli and Hagel up against that Suzuki line, and Point and Kucherov, just a massive mismatch, right? You're going to have Deneau, Jake Evans trying to shut down those two guys. It's going to be really tough. Shout out to Darren Radish, who's 28-1 to lead the series in goals. For points, I mean, you could take Kucherov. It's only plus 100, but I mean, he's most likely going to lead the series in points. And then shots on goal with your boy Jake Guentzel. I like him at 8-1, and a shout out to Braden Point there at 25-1. But guys, Jake, there's four series that I think will go seven. You can get plus 200 on all of them. Montreal and Tampa is one, Ottawa, Carolina, another, Dallas, Minnesota, and Utah and Vegas. All of those series plus 200 to go seven. I think all four of them go the distance.
I like that. And speaking of the Dallas, Minnesota series here, guys, obviously a tough one to pick. The one that's priced closest to a pick'em out of all of them, it is hard to put real money down on the Minnesota Wild to win a playoff series, because we know what's happened with that franchise. They always lose in the first round, but I have a gut feeling this is the year that they finally get it done. Nick, I know you took Dallas in this series, and you've liked Dallas all year, so you kind of have to stick with your lane there on that one. Again, hard to put the real money down on Minnesota, but I thought they were really good in the first round last year against Vegas. Probably should have won that series, did not. I think they're a better team this year with Quinn Hughes. I'm going to take my shot on the Minnesota Wild with not a whole lot of confidence, Nick, because we know the history in Minnesota.
As mentioned, close to a pick'em, a power play battle, second against third, top power plays in the NHL. And I think the reason why I took Dallas in this series was the battle up the middle. And I think it's something they're going to try to pick into in the offseason if you're Bill Guerin and company, is like the center ice position. Like, I think there's a gross mismatch when it comes to that conversation. But I think a big story in that series is no Miro Heiskanen. And Harley's going to have to step up yet again. It seems like the same old song and dance from last year in the postseason where Miro Heiskanen was banged up. But without question, means it's the one series I'm really, really looking forward to seeing out of all of them.
It's the toughest one for me to call, and I totally agree with you on Minnesota's lack of depth down the middle of the ice. I think at some point it'll catch up to them, whether they get past the Stars and then they have the Avs, and then we'll see what happens, you know, on the other side of the bracket, whether it's Vegas or Edmonton, and they're going to have an advantage down the middle of the ice against Minnesota. But no Roope Hintz is huge, no Miro Heiskanen. I think in the prop market, you can certainly take a look at Harley over the first couple of games. Back up in that top power play is probably going to be plus money for a point. I want to go to Ottawa and Carolina when it comes to futures. It does sound like, Jake, you're here on the Hurricanes. You're in on them. I think that there's like tremendous value on Logan Stankoven. He's 60-1 to lead the series in goals. 60-1. His line mates Taylor Hall and Jackson Blake are around the 30-40 mark. He's 300-1 to lead the series in points. Shane Pinto is 40-1 for an example. And then also to lead the series in shots on goal is 125-1 for Logan Stankoven. This guy has been on a heater. He's their second line center. Ottawa is going to match up. Pinto is going to get those tough assignments against that top line. And I think that's it. That Stankoven line with Blake and with Hall, I think those guys are going to show up in a big way.
Carolina is the type of team we know does like to spread it out. So you could see one of those secondary scorers maybe lead in points or lead in goals and it not be an Aho and a Jarvis. So I do like that look at those odds. Guys, can we make any case whatsoever for the LA Kings? Maybe not to win the series, but to win a couple of games here. We are going to get them in the individual games at really big prices. I feel like they're good for one or two wins in this series, Nick. Maybe it's just going to be a sweep and LA doesn't belong, but it feels like they're playing some better hockey the last month or so. Forsberg's been really good between the pipes. Can they maybe ride that wave into the postseason and, you know, catch an Avs team that really hasn't played an important game for a very long time? LA's been having to play playoff-style hockey now for a little while.
Never say never, and I think the way this series is being priced, you almost have to take a shot on Los Angeles, at least early on. Anton Forsberg, as you talked about, 5-0-0 in the last five appearances, 1.37 and 950. I just think they're over their head. I think from a matchup standpoint, it just does not look good on paper, but there's a reason why they play the games too, right? Nazem Kadri looks like he's going to be okay, and that's a massive deadline addition. They got Nicolas Waugh as well. Like, the depth is certainly more in the favor of Colorado, but you can never underestimate, as Jake brought up, means like the teams that have been scratching and clawing for a month now, and that's why ultimately I like Philadelphia in the dog position. A lot of different teams have been playing playoff hockey for a while, but I just think in general, you know, putting together my bracket, and we have a fantasy bracket over at NHL.com that you can join in. I think over 1,000 members already in the group. I thought it was a tough first round to pick, where you can make a legitimate case outside of like the one series. I think we all agree, and you never know in this league, the Los Angeles one. Every other series, you can make a legitimate case for either team.
Yeah, you really can, and that's what's so fun about the first round, right? I mean, you have these teams that you alluded to fighting for a playoff spot, the Canadiens fighting for the division, so they've been playing meaningful hockey, the Flyers, the Penguins, a lot of these teams certainly have. And, you know, Jake, you're right about Forsberg. And he has been really good. He's taken that net away from Darcy Kemper. I expect Forsberg to be the game one starter, despite Kemper having won a Stanley Cup with the Colorado Avalanche, right? That could be a fun little revenge story, Nick, if he gets in there. But this Avs team will be able to flip the switch. LA doesn't score a lot of goals. I know they've been playing some tight hockey, getting to overtime a lot, which is, you know, a positive at this time of the season. But I like the Avs 2.5 on the series handicap at +105. And you know what? A sprinkle at +350 for the sweep, they should have no issues with the Kings.
Nick, what you said earlier about you could kind of make a case for all these dogs, maybe outside of LA to actually win the series. I think if I was getting into LA, it would be maybe some sort of series spread. But even that, I'm not really all that interested. I think you could honestly make a case for every dog in the Eastern Conference. I think both wildcard teams, like really, when you look and you look at how tight the East was this year, teams that had 95 points missed the playoffs. These teams are all 100-point, close to 100-point teams, Pete, and I think you could really make a case for any East team to go on a run this year.
Well, hockey fans, tired of waiting for the end of the game to get paid, ready to move on to the next puck drop? That's why Bet365, an official partner of the NHL, has three-goal early payout. If the team you're riding goes up three goals at any point in the game, they'll pay your bet out early. Hockey moves fast, and now with three-goal early payout, there's one less thing you have to wait around for. Bet365. Download the app and see what early payout's all about. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. Terms and conditions apply. Now, Jake, we sort of sprinkled a bit on the Vegas Golden Knights, but I am curious about what angle people can look at. Mitch Marner, his first Stanley Cup playoffs with the Vegas Golden Knights. Does that intrigue you at all in terms of a props market? Starting?
Maybe not a props market, but I am curious to see how it plays out just from a hockey standpoint. And it kind of feels like, guys, John Tortorella has been playing the nice guy card here early on with Vegas. And we've seen him do this before where he takes over behind the bench and he's not really doing the tirades. That's to come later. We know that's probably going to come at some point, but it kind of feels like he's pushing those buttons, being real calm. Even when the team gets down, you see those on the bench interviews that he's been doing, and he's not losing his mind just yet. So, Meanie, I've kind of been sucked into Vegas. I've been so down on Vegas on this show all season long, and it feels like the last month or so. Am I being roped in by Vegas beating bad teams? They did beat Colorado. They did beat Edmonton on the road recently, so those were some impressive wins. Am I getting sucked into Vegas here when I probably shouldn't be?
Well, I'm getting sucked in, so maybe we're both getting sucked in together. I don't know. I was looking at their 5-5 per 60 numbers since the Olympics. This was before they hired Tortorella. Second fewest shot attempts allowed, second fewest shots, fewest scoring chances, fewest high danger chances, the lowest expected goals against rate, and on the flip side, they're in the top five in all of those categories offensively. Since Torts has taken over, as I mentioned, 7-0-1, 33-16, they've outscored their opponents. Nick's got some Carter Hart numbers. He's Torts' guy. He's been perfect. And Marner's his guy, too. He's been playing in all situations. So I like where this Vegas team is at. I think from a series standpoint, you can take some futures, take some shots. Marner's 14-1 to lead the series in goals. He's 4-1 to lead the series in points. I think that even though it's a very tough matchup, Nick, I like this Utah squad. I think Vegas is more complete, and they have a ton of experience, which is a benefit this time of the year.
If you want to look at Utah, I think the one prop I would be interested in is Dylan Gunther to lead the series in scoring plus 375. I think the one thing with Vegas, they tend to spread the wealth, and I think a variety of different guys are going to score goals, from Dorofeev to, you know, Marner, Eichel, Hurdle, the list goes on, where we know prolifically Gunther is the guy, the hired gun for Utah. And I think I expect some offense in that series, and certainly a direction I would look at. You reference those numbers for Carter Hart, guys, 6-0-0. Under Torts, 1.66930. And I think it's a natural transition, Jake, into the Conn Smythe market. And I think there's a lot of value to be found. And for me, that starts with Carter Hart. Like, if you can fill out your bracket and think Vegas goes far, maybe wins another Stanley Cup, and maybe that's the ironic story out of all this, that it's Carter Hart that wins the Conn Smythe.
Wow, that would be incredible. But this is where I like to take some shots, Nick, right? You don't have to sprinkle too much on these big odds for Conn Smythe.
Is that not a shot?
Well, yeah, that's a shot. That is a big shot. And I mentioned Alex Tuck earlier, too. I'm maybe not as in on Buffalo as I am some of these teams. But hey, if you are in on Buffalo, they certainly could go on a run. I think Alex Tuck at 100-1 is a really nice piece. And look, a lot of the teams that I do like, you know, Vegas, Carolina, they're a little bit more spread out. If Edmonton wins the Cup, Meany, Connor McDavid's probably winning the Conn Smythe. Maybe Leon Draisaitl, if he gets in there healthy, scores a bunch of goals. So you're pretty limited on options for teams like that. But I think if you look at a team like Carolina winning, or a team like Buffalo or Vegas, you've got five or six different options that could possibly win a Conn Smythe trophy. We saw Vegas do it with Jonathan Marchessault, probably not a guy we would have been talking about going into the postseason that year.
Carter Hart, by the way, priced at plus 10,000 means for a potential Conn Smythe trophy. So good luck.
Yeah, I got him on my board here, guys. 100-1. Nice. I mean, there's a couple guys that stand out at that number. Suzuki's 100-1. Brock Nelson's 100-1. I understand the Avs are top heavy. Wedgwood is 75-1. UPL, if the Sabres continue this, he's 100-1. So those guys are certainly long shots, but if they get through the first round or two, you know, those numbers will get shorter. One thing I'll say about the Conn Smythe too, I mean, if you like the Tampa Bay Lightning, I think, you know, you see the number and 4-1, 5-1. Kucherov's 10-1 to win the Conn Smythe. Vasilevskiy's 18-1. I think those are better plays. Why don't you just take one of those two guys? You can go down the board. Hagel's 75-1. Radis is 100-1. But we haven't really talked about the Oilers and the Ducks series. That one may be the most highly entertaining series. Like, the over may be 7.5 at, you know, in almost all of the games. You're going to see offense up and down the ice. McDavid at 14-1, right? It's like, are we sitting here, Nick, and we're just saying, you know, the Oilers, and we're not in on them again, and then they make us look silly, and they go back to the Stanley Cup Finals yet again, and guess what? Florida's not there, right? Maybe they play another team in the area that's Tampa Bay, but 14-1 for McDavid, I haven't seen, the last couple of years, we haven't seen a number this long for him.
Well, I'll put it this way. I saw how long the odds were for Draisaitl to win the Conn Smythe specifically, and I totally comprehended and understood that. If Edmonton's winning the Stanley Cup, it's going to be on Connor McDavid just going gangbusters again on this league. Like, he owns the Stanley Cup playoffs. That's what makes McDavid so special for me, is that he elevates in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like, he plays even better. So does Bouchard. So does Draisaitl. But I think that's a pretty simple bet. I like the overs early on. Like, I jumped on 6.5 for game one. I expect a lot of offense, at least early on. I think important to stress, like, the Oilers have been much better defensively as of late. In fact, I pissed off a lot of Oilers fans because I didn't have Evan Bouchard for my Norris Trophy. I'm sorry to them. But they've been much better under Paul Coffey coming back here, Jake.
I'll take some of that flack too, Nick. He's nowhere near my ballot for for a Norris Trophy. I'm sorry. I got Werenski. I'd give Rasmus Dahlin some love. I feel like he hasn't been getting enough love in that conversation. Point per game defenseman. Maybe the numbers aren't eye-popping, Meany, for Rasmus Dahlin. He's another one we should be talking about in a possible Conn Smythe conversation, right? If Buffalo does go on a run, he's going to factor heavily. Also, don't mind Nick Suzuki, 100-1. I know Montreal's got to get through Tampa in the first round, but I think we all agreed that it's a decent price for them. Maybe they could pull off that upset. If they could beat Tampa, Tampa, they could certainly beat Buffalo or Boston in the next round, and all of a sudden you create the path for the Montreal Canadiens, and their top players are huge odds to win the Conn Smythe. So, Meany, I don't mind Suzuki. You could make a case for Caulfield, same price, but I think Suzuki would be my play out of the two.
I think the Canadiens, again, are the best value on the board, whether it's to win the opening round, whether it's to go on a run, win the Stanley Cup, you know, again, getting by Tampa Bay, you know, the path is not too bad for them. The confidence will be there, and Suzuki has had an unbelievable season, and they have a lot of speed, so I certainly like it. Dahlin, I want to go back to Dahlin. I'm kind of with you. Like 40-1 to win the Conn Smythe. This guy's going to lead the series in ice time. He's going to be one of the leaders throughout the whole Stanley Cup playoffs in ice time. He's plus 550 to lead the opening round against Boston in points. He's 9-1 to lead the series in shots. He's minus 120 to have more points than McAvoy. I really like a lot of those props for Rasmus Dahlin. I think it's going to be a coming out party for him.
That building is going to be buzzing, and I know we don't want to give away our Stanley Cup picks until later on in the show, but I'm very Dallas-heavy in terms of my looks when it comes to the Conn Smythe. Ottinger plus 3,500, Rantanen plus 3,500. I like the value in those two guys. And if you got the pathway with Carolina, I'm trying to determine who that guy's going to be. It's not going to be Brandon Bussey, I can tell you guys right now. I think ultimately Carolina, and it's unfortunate because I'm wearing my Bunch of Jerk shirt today, yeah. But I the crease is what alarms me with that team again, Jake. It's a broken record.
I thought with your Bunch of Jerk shirt that you were wearing, you've come around on the Carolina Hurricanes. Now you're joining. Me and Meany, I feel like, are getting a little bit sold here on the Canes. I haven't really been majorly in on them all season, but now all of a sudden, I just look at that side of the bracket. I think that's really what entices me about the Canes is the path to the conference final. I respect Ottawa a lot. I think Ottawa can win that series, and if they do, I like them to win the next round, but I'm still going to roll with the Canes here. But Meany, figuring out that crease, real difficult. Kochetkov is just a total wild card. Coming in ice cold, if they do have to use him, who knows what he's going to look like, but it does seem like the Canes have three options in the pipes. They might be three bad options, but they've got three cards they can play throughout the course of any of these series.
I have to reach out to our friends at 365 as well, because I don't see a Stankoven Conn Smythe, and I just feel like I'm drinking the Stankoven Kool-Aid here. I mean, like what he's done recently in the matchup, I just really like it. And one final maybe series props to kind of get into, and love to get your guys' take. And Pete, throw to you, because I know you've been a big Martone guy. Pittsburgh and Philly. Crosby 6-1 to lead the series in goals. Chinnikov looks like he's going to play with Crosby on that top line. I know he's one of our sleepers and mixed in with some X factors in there. He's 12-1, and Martone is 20-1. There's a lot of value in this series. I think we're going to see a lot of offense. I know Philly doesn't score a whole lot, but Pittsburgh gives up a lot of quality chances, so that's a really fun series. And just want to note that Crosby's got 139 points in 93 career games against the Flyers.
I see a lot of offense in a couple of these series. Montreal, Tampa, Philly, Pittsburgh, and Anaheim, Edmonton. I see Anaheim, Edmonton starts at 6.5 in terms of the total. Montreal and Philly series respectively are at 5.5. So jump on those overs early and often, I think, in the Montreal, Tampa, and the Philly, Pittsburgh series. And one long shot to lead the Pittsburgh, Philly series in points is Erik Karlsson plus 1,000. Mm-hmm. This guy has been on an absolute tear the last couple months of the season, leads all defensemen in points over the past couple of months, I think since the Olympic break. So really impressive what he's doing for the Pittsburgh Penguins.
The Battle of Pennsylvania is back, and among the series I'm really, really looking forward to watching. We're going to hit the break. On the other side, we're going to get the playoff pool advice. For now, we'll look at NHL Fantasy Stars with Petey and Means.
All right, Petey, the NHL Fantasy Stars game continues throughout the Stanley Cup playoffs. What's your strategy here in round one?
I'm looking for some elite goal scorers that you can get in the open market in Fantasy Stars for just 300 coins apiece. I'll start with Brandon Hagel. Tampa Bay Montreal series is going to be high scoring. He plays up top for the Lightning. Morgan Geeky, one of the most underrated goal scorers in the league this season. Boston's underdogs against Buffalo, but I could see Geeky having a big series here. Cutter Gauthier, another high scoring series. Anaheim against Edmonton, that's going to be high octane. You can get him for just 300 coins. And then Dylan Gunter, a 40 goal scorer for the Utah Mammoth. You can get him against Vegas for 300.
Targeting high scoring series, it's a pretty good strategy. Yeah, check out the marketplace. Try to buy some cheap players because you got to fill out a roster. You know, you get deep into the first round, may only be three games on one night. So I got a few players for you as well. Igor Chinnikov, Ryan Hartman, Logan Stankoven, Arturi Lehkonen, Leo Carlson, and Matt Savoy. I think that Ducks and Oilers series, we should see a lot of fireworks. Check out NHL.com/fantasy for all of our picks and download the NHL Fantasy Stars app today.
Welcome back to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Nick Alberga, Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen with you. It's now time to dive into playoff pool advice, and I think the biggest advice we can give you off the top, fill out your bracket, right, Jake? NHL.com, yes. bracketchallenge.nhl.com. NHL Fantasy has their own bracket challenge right now, over 1,000 people in there. If you want to get in there, we'll put the link out yet again. But that's like the biggest advice to anybody playing a playoff pool, Jake. Do that, and then the rest will map out itself. Do you agree?
Great call, because I think it just lets you visualize it a little bit, See, okay, which teams have the better paths and which teams and then players do I want to target? And Meany, one piece of advice I would certainly give, and obviously it depends on your pool size, but make sure you have a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, maybe a plan D, because you go in with an idea of a team you want, you could get boxed out on that team. By the time it comes to your pick, all the good players on that team are gone. So you got to have at least three or four options, I feel like, going into these fantasy drafts, and you have to be able to pivot on the fly and maybe go to a team you initially didn't really want a part of.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah, and if you're in a box pool, it's easy to kind of pick four teams, two in the East, two in the West, kind of pick your final four, and then you can map it out that way. But if you're playing in a pool where you got 7 or 12 buddies and you're drafting, you're gonna have to adapt, right? Colorado, Tampa, Edmonton are gonna fly off the board. Maybe it's Minnesota that goes next, and all of a sudden you're in on Dallas. Maybe Vegas is there at the end of the first round, and you're like, okay, Vegas is going to be my team. So you really want to pick two or three teams, ride with those teams, Nick. But again, Jake said it perfectly. Have a plan B, plan C, plan D. Just be willing to adapt, and sometimes teams will fall to you. Like maybe the Sabres are one of those teams that will fall to the second round and you load up on some Sabres.
And I think the challenging thing with playoff pools for these toss-up series, like, don't go too heavy on the Dallas Stars, mix in some Minnesota Wild. Don't go too heavy on the Tampa Bay Lightning, mix in some Montreal Canadiens, because I think those series could go either way. And, you know, I think there's a little bit of value not only in the betting market, but also in fantasy pools on Mikko Rantanen. Remember how good he was through two rounds last year? He had the back-to-back hat tricks, including one in Game 7 to sink his former team. In terms of the betting price on Bet365, plus +750 for him to lead the first round series against the Wild in goals, and then fantasy pools, he might not go in the top 10, which I think is a crime.
I love that. A little sprinkle. Means we'll start with you. The biggest question I can ask you on today's podcast, here's a scenario. You're doing a playoff pool. You got the first overall pick. Who are you taking?
Man, you know, I would take Nate, because I feel like Colorado is a team that will go on a run. But, you know, McDavid, I saw 1.82 points in his career.
Crazy.
Against the Ducks, which is the most of any player against any franchise, minimum 10 games. We've seen it before. I've seen it before where, you know, you pick McDavid and Draisaitl. I remember the year they got bounced out, I think, against the Ducks in the second round, but they were still among the leaders throughout the entire Stanley Cup playoffs in points. So it's hard to argue against those guys, but my strategy up at the top of the board will probably be to take Nate if I do get that first pick.
And this is why it's so important to fill out your bracket. Like for me, for example, I got Dallas going far. That means Colorado would be cooked in the second round. I have them beating Los Angeles. Jake, I have to go with Connor McDavid. This is always my default answer, whether it's fantasy hockey or playoff pool. The numbers are out of this world. He's got 96 career playoff games, 44 goals, 150 points, Jake. Like even if Edmonton just gets to the second round against Vegas, right, I'm right there with Means. I think him and maybe Draisaitl too are in the top five in scoring for the entire playoffs. I'm going with McDavid first overall here.
Two rounds of Connor McDavid might be enough. You can make a case for Nikita Kucherov as well. He's certainly in this conversation if you want to go there. Again, it does come down to team preference. And if you feel like the Lightning are the team, then you probably take Kuch first off the board. I'm going with Nate here. I'm with you in the regular season, Nick, but I'm going to go with Nathan MacKinnon here. The problem is, and Meany kind of referenced this as well, where you have to adapt on the fly. I've had years where I've taken McDavid first overall at 16 team league. By the time it gets back to me, all the other good Oilers are gone. So you got McDavid, but then the rest of your team build is probably another team. By the time it gets back to you on that snake, you're unlikely to get the other top Oilers players.
I call this the Pete Jensen special in terms of strategy, stacking teams, guys. I know Pete just intimated that he likes to have different players on different teams, even ones we don't project to go far. But I like the stack outlook too. Colorado comes to mind, the highest scoring team in the regular season. Dallas, a lot of big boys in that team. Rantanen, Johnston, Robertson, Harley on the back end. Carolina, the second highest scoring team in the regular season, although they like to spread the wealth, as we know. But even a guy we haven't talked about today, Nikolaj Ehlers, like, this guy's a bit of a hired gun. A big reason why they brought him in is because Carolina gets to the playoffs and it's tougher to score, Jake.
Well, I did a playoff pool draft late Thursday night when we sort of knew where things were headed. Yeah. There were still a couple things up in the air, but for the most part, we had an idea. And the Canes were my stack. And again, that was my plan A going in. I'd love to get Carolina Hurricanes. I think it was the eighth pick that I had. And I was able to get Aho, Jarvis, Ehlers. This will make Meany happy, even Logan Stankoven a little bit later as well. So I'm all in on the Canes. They could lose to Ottawa in the first round. I'll probably finish dead last in the pool. But I'd rather finish dead last, Meany, than finish fourth. I've had so many years where I've built a really solid team, you know, two pieces here, and I end up finishing third or fourth. It's first or last, as Ricky Bobby likes to say, come fantasy playoff pool time.
And those Carolina players are going to fall. Even Aho, Svechnikov, Jarvis, those guys are going to fall. You mentioned Ehlers. I know I've been giving a lot of love to Stankoven on this show, but Ehlers 14-1 to lead the series in goals, 20-1 to lead the series in shots. This guy has been really good. I know he had a slow start in Carolina, but he's a perfect fit for that team. And he's going to show up, I think, in a big way. So those Hurricanes can fall. Those Sabres can fall. Doan, Quinn, Norris. I don't think Tuck will go early in drafts. I think Dahlin is certainly a good target. Nick, you mentioned Colorado guys, Lekkonen, Landeskog, Nelson. These guys are going to fall in drafts, right? You may be able to get Colorado players in round two or round three once those top guys go off the board. And I think the three teams that are going to fall, if you want to take some shots like our guy Petey here, Pittsburgh, Montreal, Utah. Like, I know we like Vegas and we like Tampa, but those are three teams that can score goals. And if they go on a little bit of a run, whether it's a second round, third round, you're playing with house money.
In terms of goalie strategy for fantasy playoff pools, I guess it boils down to if you're drafting individual goalies or the tandems, but I see two really good tandems that I like. The Colorado one with Wedgwood and Blackwood, and the Buffalo one with UPL and Lyon. I feel like when you look at the Eastern Conference this year, it's down compared. It's very competitive, a lot of parity, but there's not that juggernaut across the whole Eastern Conference bracket. So this could be the year that Buffalo mixes and matches their goaltending, and they were third in the league in team save percentage. So there's not really a competition there. They complement each other, similar to what Colorado does.
I can see it in Pete's head right now. He's probably got a Buffalo-Colorado Stanley Cup final, and he can really smell and feel Alex Lyon hoisting Lord Stanley. That's been a dream of yours. We all know this in Buffalo back in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Let's get into sleepers and X-Factors, guys. You talk about the Buffalo series. I think Alex Tuck makes a lot of sense as sort of a sleeper. I like your look for Conn Smythe look. Who knows if Buffalo goes on a lengthy run? Why not? And from the Boston perspective, Morgan Geekie. Remember that guy? 7 goals in the last 25 games of the season. I think there's some sleeper appeal there too, Jake.
I'll go back to the Flyers, who I brought up off the top of the show as a series I like, at least an underdog. Now, second round might be tricky for them, Meany, but if you're at the end of your pool and there's just not much left, you're looking at third line players on some of the good teams, I think you're going to have a lot of situations where the Flyers' top players are still available. You could grab maybe a Martone, a Tippett, Tyson Forrester, some of these guys. I think Philly's a team I'm going to be targeting because, look, at the back end of your draft, you're okay getting a guy through one round. You're not going to get everybody into the cup final. So I think Philly's a team I've got circled for late that I think can at least win one round of playoff hockey.
Yeah, I mean, that Martone kid, I know I've been talking a lot about him, but my goodness, right? I mean, the points, he's leading the team in primary assists, shot attempts, shots, getting top power play time. A couple sleepers that we have for me, Chinnikov is, you know, I mentioned him playing with Crosby. Maverick Bork has showed up lately, a hat trick the other night. Looks like he's going to open up on the second line with Matthew Shane and Jason Robertson. And how about Matt Savoy? I know he had a Hattie last night, but he's quietly been good. If you are in on the Oilers, like, again, Nick mentions, you know, at the top of the board, you get McDavid, or second, you get McDavid. Maybe you get Draisaitl. I think Savoy is a guy, you know, who may go after a Hyman or Ryan Nugent-Hopkins and Evan Bouchard, and I do believe that he's going to open up on that top line. He's been really good alongside McDavid over the past month or so.
You guys want a sneaky play?
I'd love a sneaky contract year
Rasmus Anderson. Where are you at, my friend?
He's been awesome lately, too.
Eight games under torts. He's got 7 points. This guy woke up. He's like, oh, we're in Vegas now. Okay, we actually play playoff hockey here. Okay, but I jokes aside, I like Rasmus Anderson. And remember that guy, J.J. Paterka, used to play for the Buffalo Sabres? What a season from hell. I haven't even noticed that guy. It was an afterthought. Maybe Paterka gets things cooking in the first round against Vegas. I think if you're looking for sleeper appeal, you look there. I like the Savoy shout. I got him on my list. Ehlers, Batherson at 33, Tucks in the regular season. Mantha, you talk about contract years, 33 tucks in the regular season. Martone, don't sleep on Michkov either, guys. He's really starting to cook here with Philadelphia. Radish, Demidov, a couple other guys like Harley. Danila Yurov's, I think, is going to be huge here, Pete, for the Minnesota Wild, too.
He is. That team's going to lean very heavily, obviously, on Quinn Hughes, who's a nice long shot. Not sure if we mentioned him, but plus 5,000 to win the Conn Smythe. If Minnesota goes all the way, I could see him winning the Conn Smythe. But yeah, Minnesota has some great wrinkles here across the lineup. I'd like Boston, James Hagans. Can they implement him on the fly, maybe even elevate him in the lineup if they're trailing in the series against Buffalo? I think that he has a very high ceiling, similar to what Martone has shown. And then if you're looking for category coverage, like some people play in a points only, some play with categories, look at Josh Doan for Buffalo, covers a lot of categories, points, blocks, hits, and then also Dylan Cousins. If the Senators pull an upset, Cousins is one of the five best category coverage guys in the entire league in fantasy.
All right, gents, to the final moments of the show. Stanley Cup picks. Who do you have in the Stanley Cup final and over who? I'm going to start first, Jake, then we'll go to you. I like Dallas over Carolina. That's where my bracket ultimately took me, and I like Dallas to win the Stanley Cup, obviously.
I'm taking Edmonton to finally get it done here, guys. This is the last time. If it doesn't happen, I'm done. I'm not doing it again next year, but I'm taking Edmonton. I'm taking them over the Carolina Hurricanes. Oh, wow. So the Canes take that step. They get to the Cup final. Ultimately, they're the ones that fall short this year. I'm going to Connor, hoping for a healthy Leon here, Meany. Give me Edmonton over Carolina.
Hey, you guys are both on Carolina to go to the finals. I got them in the Eastern Conference Finals, but I think the Cup stays in Florida this year, guys. Tampa Bay, I like this Lightning team. They got a ton of experience. They're coached well, and the team that they've had issues with, Florida, is not there. I think Vegas is going to go to the finals too, so I'm in on the Golden Knights. I got the Lightning over Vegas in seven games.
Would love to see a rematch of 2021 in the Western Conference Finals if it's Colorado and Vegas. I mean, that would be one of the best series imaginable. I'm going with Colorado over Buffalo. You nailed it.
I called it.
Nick, you called it. You got where I
Lyon's
was headed.
Lyon's not raising that cup, though, is he?
No. The Avs, I think, will raise it. They got Kadri back for a reason. They have Landeskog productive. I mean, different wrinkles compared to last year when they lost in that epic Game 7. If you're going to bet on the Avs to win the cup, instead of the plus 300, bet on MacKinnon to win Conn Smythe at plus 650. And I think he'll win it because Makar won it the last time in 2022. But I see a deep run coming for Buffalo. And I think that if Montreal loses in the first round to Tampa, Buffalo has shown the ability to beat Tampa a number of times this year. That would be another epic series in the second round, Buffalo-Tampa.
Wicked. Guys, excellent job, Jake. I guess next time we talk, we'll be teeing up round two of the Stanley Cup playoffs, right?
It's going to be a real fun couple weeks until we get there. So until next time, guys, was great breaking down the first round with you. Everybody enjoy some playoff hockey. This is the best time of the year, the NHL first round Stanley Cup playoffs. Meany, I can't wait to drop the puck here.
Yeah, and just a shout out, we'll have you covered throughout the entire playoffs, right? Updating some rankings. I know some people all of a sudden do redrafts in the second round. I won't judge. You can do whatever you want with your buddies, but we'll have you covered through the entire playoffs. We'll have some picks and some props and certainly some futures throughout the playoffs as well.
For Jay Conn, Chris Meany, and Pete Jensen, I'm Nick Alberga. This podcast has been a presentation of Bet365. Hockey fans, check out Bet365's 3-goal early payout. When your team goes up 3, you get paid. It's that simple. Download the app today. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.